How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast, edition number 23 of the 2021-2022 season. Joining myself, Omer, today, we've got myself and my co-host, Mickey Simpson. Hello, pal.
Hello, pal. You're all right.
I nearly jumped on my words there, but I think it's because, you know, Wednesday evening, trying to get a show out, you know, and also the high of yesterday's win as well. You know, it's playing in the back of my mind, mate. I'm not going to lie.
No, that's it. And it was the fact that we were getting a guest on, but unfortunately, due to technical issues, it's just us now. So we will get that guest back on. So if you saw a tweet yesterday promoting it, that he was coming on, unfortunately, due to technical issues, he's not coming on now. So, yeah.
We were just saying we're due to technical issues anyway. So I suppose, you know, if we're doing this for, a year and a half nearly now, to come into technical issues for the first time, it's not too bad. I think we've done all right. So, yeah, mate, we're going to talk, obviously, in this show about yesterday's win, the unexpected win, but I suppose if you look at it in a Millwall kind of way, maybe it was just expected at the right time. And also we'll talk about Saturday's game coming up against Stoke City. If you're new around here, obviously be sure to like the video, subscribe and leave a comment below. We appreciate any kind of interaction we get, and liking the video helps us a lot, so be sure to do that. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any podcast in sight, be sure to follow us and review the podcast. Anything above five star, well, I say above, anything five star below is not acceptable, but you know, five star, and tell Mickey what you think about him as well. So, all right, we're going to go into part one now anyway, talk about that win yesterday at Bramall Lane. And welcome to the first part of the show. Mickey, mate, Sheffield United 1, Millwall 2. I think if anyone listened to our show Saturday, mate, and heard us talk about the aftermath and was in that moment, and you know, you're pointing at yourself, but you know,
who predicted it?
Do you put, well, you know, but you know, in general, like obviously it was quite low in the dumps, so to speak, on Saturday.
Who predicted it?
You might have predicted a 2-1 win. I don't think it's a 2-1. I don't know. You might have just said we might win anyway. But anyway, my point is you know, it's classic Millwall. You're low as anything on Saturday night. Fast forward to Tuesday evening, and you know, you're almost bouncing off the kind of ceiling roof, ain't you, mate? It's classic Millwall, 2-1 win away at Bramall Lane. Get in there.
Absolutely, fella. You were looking at it, you're thinking it's got draw written all over it. And then as it was going further and further, you were just thinking, oh, I've just got a nasty feeling that, you know, against 10 men, something's going to happen and we're going to fucking throw this away. But, you know, hey-ho, as people seem to be calling him online, old Juicy Jake, he absolutely fucking buries it.
I think Juicy Jake, the term, came from the, you remember the alternative commentaries that used to be around all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Juicy Jake was, has he? Well, there you go. Juicy Jake is the terminology used. So, obviously, you know, I can't remember what it was for Matt Smith, but if there was a good one for him before, but Juicy Jake's the slogan he uses quite a lot, and obviously Tintin for Shane Ferguson and stuff like that, so it's quite a good banter. But obviously scored the goal. I think the club socials also used Juicy Jake as well, so it's really caught on. But yeah, it's brilliant win, and obviously for Jake Cooper to score a goal like that, I mean, we'll talk more in length about it, I suppose, if we progress through the story of the game in a sense at the minute. But wow, couldn't believe it. 92nd minute, Jake Cooper's there on the edge of the box, about 25 yards out, gets out his feet and sticks it in the bottom right corner. Things you never, ever predict when going to watch Millwall. But there you go, mate.
But, you know, and also, I mean, that thing I posted on the group earlier, he's been involved in about 5 goals at Bramall Lane or games, you know, between us and Sheffield United. So, you know, he's got proven form, which, you know, we didn't really think about. We didn't really look into too much. But, you know, Jake's a solid 9 to 1, 10 to 1, between 9 to 1 and 12 to 1, you know, if he scores on most games. So, yeah, he stings the bookies when he suddenly decides to put one in. I did like old Wallace, old Jed's celebration. Allegedly, they were watching Superman film, weren't they, in the afternoon, and superhero film in the afternoon, and then he got dared to do it if he scored. And then he'd done it. He's probably off injured now. He's probably done his arm in and he's injured now for the next fucking 6 weeks. But yeah.
Well, spoiler alert, Jed Wallace scored. I mean, first thing, the team that was picked by Garrett, mate. Obviously, not many changes from the weekend's game. Obviously, we had Bielkowski in goal, Hutchinson, Cooper, Ballard's. So the same defence. Obviously, right wing back was not Danny McNamara. It was Ryan Leonard. Left wing back was Scott Malone. So Leonard and Malone both come into the team there. Midfield pairing of Saville and Evans continued. And then we had Wallace, Ojo and Tom Bradshaw up front. The bench was Long, Keith Bell, Smith, Pierce, Afobe, Bennett and Billy Mitchell. Not as many changes as maybe we thought, or maybe unexpected changes. Three changes in total there. We'll talk about the positives. Malone coming back into the side obviously gave a penalty away as well for Sheffield United's goal. But interesting one that Evans and Saville continue, but fair play to Saville in particular. I thought he was superb yesterday. But, you know, no Billy Mitchell in there, no Keithen Belts. Interesting one there, I thought, kind of an hour before kickoff yesterday, Mickey.
Yeah. I would have thought Kifton Vale would have been in there against United to give a, you know, a hard defense, you know, a hard midfield, a hard protection there. But I don't know. I think he wanted to go with an attacking force and he went with it, and it proved to be a bit of success. I think if we'd have lost that, I think the pressure would have really been on Gary. But now he's got a bit of leeway in it. Do you know what I mean? He's got a good win away from home. Everyone's, you know, happy and joyful. We just need to see attacking football back at the Den now.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see if McNamara was dropped yesterday or if he was injured. I'm not quite sure. I mean, if he was dropped, he was completely out of the squad as well, which was a bit of a weird one. I mean, not too sure exactly the whereabouts of that one. But I think obviously for me in particular, like going into the game, based on the last performance from Saville and Evans, I was quite surprised to see them both start. But like I said, Saville from the early get-go was kind of up and at the Sheffield United defence and was pressing from high. And I guess that's something that was maybe slightly different going into this game compared to Luton on Saturday. Obviously, you know, I think early doors had a couple of chances. I think, you know, I remember one where Wallace put through on goal and he's offside. But, you know, could have been a promising move there. I think, you know, it was kind of, we edged the start of the game and then that pure fluke happens down the right-hand side, doesn't it, Mickey? Leonard down the line to Wallace. And it was almost a carbon copy from the opposite side of the pitch of Lowe's goal against us for Nottingham Forest, wasn't it? Maybe this time I say the keeper might have been able to do a bit more than what Bielkowski did for his effort, obviously, because he couldn't really get to it. But I think Olsen in goal for United probably might be thinking, if I covered myself a bit more in glory there, kind of got my hand to it and put it tipped over. But it was due a bit of luck. And, you know, I suppose it evens out in the sense of it. And 1-0 up after 10 minutes, mate. Great start.
Yeah, no, I think it was great because it gave the players time to just settle in. And just, you know, relax. And I think I think for once in a long time, the players didn't seem to relax. They seemed to sort of, you know, still keep the same intensity and actually looked as if they wanted to score more.
You're almost saying they weren't trying on Saturday, I feel like. But I don't know if it was because Luton didn't give us the time and space, or whether or not the players went up for it as much. I'm not quite sure what way to pull it there. But obviously I agree with you, like, you know, the first 10 minutes we were up and at them, weren't we? And it was completely different to the Saturday's game. But if you have to put yourself, like, try and pinpoint what that could be, what do you think that is? Like, what's the difference between Saturday's game and yesterday? Are the players obviously looking for a reaction to try and put the wrongs right, so to speak, from Saturday? Or is it we're setting up differently, or we're just trying to go more for it? Is it the nerves of playing at the Den? I'm trying to piece it together myself, to be honest, because I'm thinking ahead to Saturday's game. Got a big game coming against Stoke, but like, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it? Away from home and at home at the Den, it's completely different.
Yeah, it's as if they're two different sets of teams, isn't it, playing? It looks as if we've got a team that plays at home and a team that plays away, and the team that plays at home is, you know, sort of open to mistakes, really, really easy to make mistakes and just not relaxed and at tune with it. It's as if they're intimidated playing in their own ground.
Is it the Den? Is it the fans? Is it the nerves of it? I agree with you. Like, it's not necessarily intimidating, but it's different, isn't it? You see the performances.
Maybe they got used to playing without the, you know, we're not used to playing, but maybe just, you know, with the noise and everything else, it's just, I don't know. But then again, away would be the same, I suppose. It'd be still different. It wouldn't necessarily be as much with, you know, being called a cunt and all that as such by your own fans. But Luton, they definitely didn't look as if they were, you know, they weren't firing on all cylinders at Luton. But here they look completely different. They looked up for it.
Maybe it's to do with the crowd as well. But, I mean, you know, at home, there's less patience. Whereas when you're away from home, You're not going into the game expecting to win. You're going into the game hoping to nick something from the game. It's kind of different mentality there. Whereas Saturday's game at home, we're thinking, right, come on, let's do it. Let's give them a game. Instead, we're kind of like away from home, trying to edge into the game, kind of play our way into it. And the kind of the mentality is a bit different, maybe. I'm not sure, but I think especially at home games, you know, as soon as we go one down, we will see it. Like the crowd density changes and the atmosphere is completely different.
Is that because the fans will go to the away games are a lot more hardcore Millwall as such? You know, they're sort of, you know, they get on your back if you don't look as if you're pulling your weight. As in, when you're at the Den, there's a lot. I mean, we know there's a lot of the boo boys and all that lot. And literally, the slightest mistake, what you'll be given at an away game, at a home game, you've suddenly got 4,000 people on your back.
Maybe it's, like I said there, I think it could also be a mentality thing where, you know, like I said yesterday, we weren't expecting to win. We was hoping to nick something from it. Mm. And I think, whereas on Saturday, you got fans turning up there, big game against Luton Town, a team that we've had loads of rivalries with over the years, purely because obviously what happened in the 80s. But at the same time, you know, it's Luton. It's a bit of a London derby feel to it, despite it being, you know, just out of London, so to speak. But I think when you go Sheffield United away, seeing Sheffield United win on Saturday against Stoke as well, who we play this weekend coming up, you know, you're kind of thinking, we'll do well to get a point here. And I think maybe the players are going into the game kind of a bit more relaxed, kind of less pressure. And I think maybe that shows, maybe I've imagined it, but I'm pretty sure there is something in that for me, to, like when I'm watching the games and seeing performances. And I think that's maybe something to explain the difference there. But I guess if you're Gary Rowett, you've got to kind of say to them, look, don't be pressured about the players. And I think half these players have been here under Harris. Well, I say half, a few of them, the key players are still on the side, played under a Harris team where our home form was formidable at times. Maybe they just got to kind of think about how they can bring us into play. But then that's also then you bring the tactics into to discussion there. Is that set up there to bring fans into play? Maybe not, especially at home games. But we'll talk about more about the game anyway. 1-0 up, mate. Like we said, kind of cruising away and, you know, kind of in control of the game as well at a tough place to go. I think I want to name drop Bart Bielkowski for a smart save in the first half when McGoldrick's played through on goal. I think it was superb for a splitting, split defence, splitting ball. I think they said on the club Twitter, and they're spot on there, McGoldrick threw on goal. And I thought at first he missed it, but then I was watching an iPhone, I saw the replay. Bart gets a save, you know, gets his hand to it and tips it away past the far post. Great save to keep us 1-0 up.
He's getting better and better with those saves. I mean, I saw something on Twitter the day where I think it was Phil Clark. Hello, Phil. Who said that he was sitting near someone who was saying, you know, last 10 minutes, 15 minutes of every game should take Bart off and put Long on. And the reason Bart's in there is because of saves like that. Because Definitely. He can, you know, as much as he can have sometimes a bit of a nightmare, it's those little glimpses, those little saves he pulls off. What seemed to be the run of norm with him. And his reaction speed is second to none. So, I would always have Bart. If Bart's available, I would always have him in goal, mate.
Agree with you there. Completely. He's a shot stopper. You know, we had Brian King, didn't we, a few weeks ago on the show. But I think that's what I said. He reminds me of David Ford a lot with his saving. I don't know what it is, but like he's better. He almost better than Ford at shot stopping as well. And I'll just take some credit there. I think the only thing I'll criticise Bart for is he's kicking from goal kicks. Occasionally, they are quite wayward. But at the same time, Wright wants to play it from the back, so we don't see that too much. But at times, he's kicking, especially going long, is a bit flat into the sieve. And I guess that's where Long definitely has an advantage there. But you can't knock Bielkowski because the first half save he made was superb. Like I said, to keep it 1-0 up, crucial time to keep that save as well. And like we said, you know, we're coming towards the end of the first half and Scott Malone back in the team, fresh from injury. And he makes the most ridiculous foul. So clumsy. He's kind of, you know, short corner. I think it's John Fleck on the ball. And he looks to get out of the way of him first. So he does that. And then as he gets out of the way and comes back, he clips him. And I feel like you told me yesterday it wasn't a penalty. Or you weren't sure.
I don't think it's
so
penalty.
So clumsy, mate.
I don't know. I mean, I saw the replay in that a couple of times. And I think it was a cheap penalty. I don't even know if he actually put pressure on. I think the kid just chipped over his toes or tripped over Malone's feet. You know, I
think he collects him from behind. I agree with you. As in, like, like I said, he tries to get out of the way. And then as he swings his body round, that's when he clips the back of the player. And then it's like it's six of one, half dozen the other. If it was anywhere else on the pitch, if it's in the midfield area, maybe it's not a foul. But I think in a penalty area where you can't go to ground, and I think he trips over Malone, but also he trips the player over in the process. And I think if it was the other way around, mate, you'd be calling that a penalty, surely, you know?
Yeah, you know, if it was to us, yeah, of course I would. But, you know, I just think that it is what it is. But then again, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the rules state, don't they, that if you do anything to impede the play or impede the player, then it's a penalty. So, yeah, you know, whether or not he tripped him, you know, it's easy to kick someone's heels, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's just 9 times out of 10 you might get away with it, but that one time you don't is the risk you take.
That's it. I mean, you know, on the stroke of half time as well, a crucial time where, you know, we're about to see it through to go 1-0 up at half time. Billy Sharp steps up, tucks it away, 35 years old. Celebration is a bit kind of interesting in front of the away fans, isn't it? Obviously, I picked up on it and put a tweet out. He shushes the Millwall fans. He looks like he's got a bit of egg on his head now, though, if he's thinking about it this morning or this evening, sorry, because obviously we got the last kind of laugh in that game. But yeah, I mean, it's a poor time to give away, obviously, a penalty in first place, Mickey. But part of me did think, obviously, Barton might have a chance to save this again. You know, he'd saved one away at West Brom a month or so ago. But he tucks it away, fair play to him. And I'm be honest, I'm thinking 1-1 at half time, it's only going to go one way in the second half, and that's going to be towards their cop end, and they're just going to be bombarding us the whole half, I felt like.
Yeah, I did too. You know, as soon as Billy stood up to get that, he's one of those players that, you know, you want in a game to, you know, to be decisive and put it away, and he did put it away. And that's the player he is, and you knew he was going to score it. You just knew it. But, you know, half-time come. I think Gary's obviously done a good half-time talk because the players come out looking as if they still, you know, wanted something out of it. I think it came at the right time because when other teams score against us, our heads drop. But because it was so close to half-time, the players were all together off the field, and mm-hmm. I don't think they had time to drop their heads because Gary's probably into them or Adam Barrett or whatever would probably been into them, telling them what they want the second half. And they probably didn't have time to, you know, to run around trying to recoup themselves. They just, you know, recouped, break, come out, and off we go again. But they looked as if they wanted something. And then obviously they went down to 10 men, didn't they?
Well, just before that, I was going to say, I don't know if you saw it, but Goldrick misses a shot, an opportunity from about a yard out. I think it's down the left-hand side or our right-hand side. Ender Stevens gets the ball in, and Goldrick's about a yard out, sliding for the ball, and he somehow managed to skies it over the goal. So a bit of lady luck on our side there, but it was coming at a time where, you know, you mentioned the red card, they're down to 10 men, but before that, they were starting to get ahead of steam. I agree with you, though. In a weird way, if you're conceding a goal and strike at half-time, at least you can go back into the dressing room and regroup and go again. And I did think the first 5 minutes, we were kind of still controlling the game. Obviously, like I said, they had that opportunity at 52 minutes. Then fast forward 3 minutes later, Morgan Gibbs-White, who's a loanee from Wolverhampton Wanderers, first half gets booked for a terrible foul on Cooper that for some reason he wanted to contest and some reason before he got to the ball.
Yeah.
Second half, he dives in the box. The most blatant dive ever. And after there was one in the first half where the right back, Jaden Bogle, dived in the first half. Mm. The referee didn't give anything or any simulation, but that must have been in his mind. So I imagine he might have seen it back at half time, or maybe his assistant said something to him, or maybe the manager said something to him, right at half time walking down the tunnel. But 55 minutes, gives White goes to grounds, no touch from Scott Malone, and the referee sends him off for a second bookable offence. Fair play to the ref. Big decision.
I mean, there's loads of stuff. Did you see the stuff going around today that the ref was allegedly a Sheffield Wednesday fan who lives in Bermondsey?
Sheffield Wednesday fan lives in Bermondsey. Tick, tick. That definitely would send an eye flame, wouldn't it? I mean, the chances of that. But I think it was TT that said something on Twitter earlier. He went, or yesterday, he was like, that's the best referee we'll never get to see again because he'll never referee us ever again.
No.
I don't think the referee had a poor game. I'll be honest. I thought the referee was, you know, on the money in a sense. And he was, like, right to book him and send him off there. I think we've just got a late arrival into the show today. Step forwards, Kai Bennett. Hello, pal.
Hello, guys. How are you? Sorry about that.
It's all good, mate. We're live. We're rolling still with it. We're up to the point where we're 1-1. And it's the 55th minute. And Morgan Gibbs-White gets sent off, mate. I was just saying, I thought, you know, the referee, a lot of people saying that he's on our side a lot, but, and the Sheffield United fans were quite fuming about it, weren't they? But I thought, fair play to him. He made the right decision there with that dive, I thought, and it was a second bookable offence, wasn't it?
Definitely, yeah. And I thought the first one, I thought Malone's penalty, the way they gave away, I thought was harsh as well. So I thought, ooh, I think that
you're in Mickey's camp. I thought it was clumsy personally. If it was the other way around, you'd want it given, surely, no?
Oh, 100%, yeah, but I want the second one here as well.
I agree with Kyle. I don't think he really touched him. I think if worst case he clipped his feet, but yeah, that's it. You know, as I said, you know, at the end of the day, if you impede a player in their area, or in your area, it's a penalty all day long. So, you know, it's technically probably within the rules, it's a penalty, but you know, is it a bit harsh? Yeah, definitely a bit harsh, but it is what it is.
But yeah, I mean, Kai, like I said, obviously, fast forward, it's obviously that minute of the game. It's kind of a good timing for us, I felt like, because Sheffield United was starting to get ahead of steam. McGoldrick has that chance where he somehow skies it from about a yard out when he's sliding to get on the end of the ball. But the timing of that red card was just well in our favour, wasn't it, I felt like?
Yeah, definitely. It just sort of halted their momentum, didn't it? Because they really did build up about 10 minutes after second half. And, you know, that was quite handy for us because, you know, even though after they went down to 10 men, they still caused quite a few problems, actually, I thought. You know, here we go. It's our chance to win it. Obviously, we did end up winning it, but I thought that, you know, we were going to sort of impose our authority. But Sheffield United are really a good side. And even with 10 men, you know, you only have to look at their bench. So if they've signed, you know, I don't know if Brewster was on the bench yesterday, but McBurnie, I think they signed him for 15 million. They signed Brewster for 20. I mean, them two put together are more than probably our value of our squad, isn't it? So it shows you the depth and the quality they have in their side. So even with 10 men, you know, they still caused the problems and you still expect them to cause problems with against us. And they did. And they had good chances. They brought on a young boy. I don't know how you say his name. He came on for Hourihan, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he was quality. He was very good. He had a couple of really good chances. And, you know, if he probably keeps his composure a little bit better, you know, he probably scores. So, yeah, they did play well. But as you said, it was a massive turning point in the game.
Iliman Ndayi.
That's it.
The midfielder. Yeah, it was an interesting sub, wasn't it, at the timing of that? Obviously, about midway through the first half as well, he came on. But yeah, I mean, obviously, they wanted to change it up. Just a testament to our performance, I suppose, at the time, that we was in control of the game. I think he has an opportunity, didn't he, in Dyes? After the red card, funny enough, he skies it, fortunately for us. I think Bart gets his hands to it. I'm watching highlight back. Bart saves it. I was talking about Bart in the first half to Mickey, Kai, but he made us some crucial saves in that game yesterday to kind of keep the scoreline as it was, so to speak. And when called upon, was proving his shot stopping prowess is there to be seen.
Yeah, that McGoldrick save was outstanding, wasn't it? Just that little faint touch that pushed it around the post. It almost reminded me of that. I think it was, you know, when we were in the playoff final, weren't we? I think it was Archer. He pushed, yep. I can't remember their striker, but he pushed the strike just around the post. And it's just fingertips that have saved us. And it was exactly the same last night, but you know, fingertip save has pushed McGoldrick's effort around the post. And you know, if they score that, makes it 1-1 very, you know, much, much earlier, they probably build up a lot more momentum going into halftime and potentially even nick one before halftime. So, yeah, it was a crucial save from Bart then. And then, you know, he made a couple of other really good saves as well. So, yeah, fair play to Bart. Fantastic as always.
Definitely. I mean, chats, I'm watching the game at home. I couldn't make it up there anyway. But 55th minute, gives White sent off. We're playing against 10 men. They bring on Chris Basham to play at the defence as well. We don't make a sub till the 75th minute. I'm sitting there after at least 10 minutes, getting to about the hour mark towards 70 minutes. I'm thinking, make a sub, Gary, please, make a sub. Bring attacking players on to change the game a bit more. He eventually makes them in the 75th minute. Matt Smith comes on, Ben Akinfobi comes on. Shay Ojo is off and replaced. I'm sorry, is off, and so is Tom Bradshaw. I thought it was personally a bit too little too late, but end of the day, we got the 3 points in the end. But a great impact from them, and obviously Mason Bennett as well in the 83rd minute. He comes on and has an opportunity straight away, doesn't he, Kai, where he somehow just doesn't get himself around the ball enough when Dreb Willis has that effort on goal. But I was thinking, just make some subs, make them quickly, right? Am I just thinking that myself? Or
no, I agree. I think, you know, a couple of fresh players coming on would have been really maybe good a little bit earlier, give them a bit more time to make an impact. You know, if you play them against 10 men, you could really afford to stretch them, and bringing on players like Mason Bennett, you know, we'll stretch defenses because he's quick. You know, maybe even keeping Ojo on for the time being and playing maybe even Jed, Ojo and Bennett up top, or bring a Phobie on for Ojo and play, you know, Bennett and a Phobie, you know, just a bit more pace. And we saw a Phobie had a great chance, didn't he? He does the right thing. He puts it across the keeper. That's what you want a striker to do. You want to always go across the keeper just in case the keeper, you know, keep just parries it straight to, you know, an oncoming player, but, you know, just misses. Bennett's unfortunate. I don't know how much he knew about it, but he was so close to scoring as well. And I think then made the difference. I mean, Bennett was, you know, in the last minute, he won a header, didn't he? He just doesn't just show what he can do in the attacking at third. He wins a header in the defensive third and you know, relieves pressure, more pressure from the defence going into the final minute or so. So, yeah, he made a big impact off the bench yesterday, Mason Bennett. And it'll be interesting to see whether Raut gives him a start on Saturday or not. And maybe, because obviously I don't think Afobe can play, can he, on Saturday, because against Stoke. So,
correct.
So it'll be interesting to see whether Mason Bennett gets a start or not.
Definitely agree with you there, mate. I mean, I said it there, obviously, you know, maybe we can make subs earlier, but we've got the 3 points in there, Mickey, isn't it? And that's all that matters. Should we talk about the elephant in the room? 91st minute, Jake Cooper. I mean, what a goal.
It was a great, he took that really well, right? But it was a bit of a fluke to get to him though, wasn't it, really? I mean, we were lucky to keep hold of the ball and then managed to just sort of pass it. And then, it was Bradshaw just suddenly panicked and kicked it to the side and Jake thought, I'm having
Evans
this.
Squares it to him. I mean, I don't know what Evans is thinking there. I'm watching it back. But lads, I swear to God, every time I watch a goal, it's better and better. It's Jake Cooper from 25 yards out on the edge of the D, putting his foot through it. After setting himself up as well, pinpoint precision into the far corner. Unbelievable strike.
And the ball just moves, doesn't it? It just looks as if that, you know, you're watching that in real time and it looks as if the ball is in slow motion. It just seems to pop out and then pop in, doesn't it? It seems to drift out to the right and then it just throws itself right into the left. It looked like Beckham's old kicks, do you know what I mean? Where he takes a strike and he kicks it on the...
If that's any of our strikers, we're saying the second it leaves their boot, it's going in the back of the net. That's how you kind of credit that goal. You watch that strike, the second that leaves his boot, there's only going one corner, far corner. Unbelievable strike, car, isn't it, mate? And what a goal. Jake Cooper, wow.
How outrageous. Every time he gets the ball against Stoke on Saturday, they'll be shouting, yes. Shoo, every yes. time, because, you know, that was outrageous. We can do that. I've never seen Cooper hit one like that. The last defender, I remember, probably could hit one. Do you remember Danny Shitty when he hit the bar against Blackburn?
Yeah,
that was a brilliant strike. If that goes in, that's one of the goals of the couple of years. As outrageous strike. So, you know, Cooper, that was a fantastic strike last night, and it sort of reminded me a little bit of QPR's Rob Dickey, in the way that he can hit it, and it was nice to see one of our centre backs do it instead of it being done against us.
And to be fair, Cooper needed it. Because Cooper's had a bad couple of games and people were starting to get on him.
I'll forgive him for the whole season so far. He's always forgiven, Jake. And if you do that again Saturday, you're my player of the season. All right? As simple as. If you score a 91st minute winner at the Den in front of the Cobble Lowland, you've won my player of the year award already. That's done. Job done.
Does he have to do it with his foot on Saturday? Or can do it with his head?
I mean, if he's... No, I want the carbon copy of that. I want edge of the box, 25 yards out. I mean, it's even the technique on it, lads. It's like the simple thing of... Get out of your feet. Get your head over the ball as you strike it. It is like, that's what you taught as
a kid. It was textbook. It's textbook.
It was textbook. Yeah. Literally textbook kind of procedure there. And like I said, I mean, I could ramble on about it forever. His interview afterwards with the club media was quite class. He was like, I wanted to run into the stands, but I'm on 3 bookings for the season. And I'm wary that if I get 2 more, I'm going to be suspended for a game. And yeah, he's right. But obviously, he's got, Mickey said it at the start of the show, Kai, but Sheffield United's a good hunting ground for him, isn't it? Obviously, he scored for us in the last minute, didn't he? Under Harris that time to help keep us up that year. But unbelievable scenes. And fair play to the 450 fans there that night, last night. They got their rewards for being there, didn't they?
Yeah, fantastic support from their Millwall fans that went up last night. It was brilliant. And the goal gets better and better when you watch it with the commentary. Mm-hmm. The commentary on Millwall's I Follow was, I've watched it about 300 times this morning with Carl Bates and Max McClellan. The way they're commentating in it, they're so, the way Carl holds strike like that, it's brilliant. It's just fantastic to watch, and it makes you sort of like, almost feel proud, I guess. It was a fantastic strike from Cooper.
We need to sound clip it and use it as a finish of the podcast.
You're making me work, mate. I mean, I've got to get this up in a couple of minutes' time.
With that, and the and if you listen to the goal, when Cooper scores the goal from the other commentary, from the alternative commentary as well, it's hilarious, absolutely hilarious, because he's just like, what's he done, cheeky bar? You know, it's his normal self. So, all good, mate, all good.
Juicy Jake, mate, to the rescue. Hey, again, do you know what I mean? So,
no, that's it. That's it. I don't know what Kai's gone. Kai's disappeared on us.
That's all right. He'll be back in a second, I'm sure. I've muted his mic for him anyway. But yeah, 3 points in the bag. And Mickey, full steam ahead into Saturday's game, isn't it now? That's it. So hopefully we can do the business on Saturday. We'll talk about that in part two in a second. But much needed win. And Yorkshire's a good hunting ground for us, Mickey. 2 wins in a row now, away from home. Barnsley and Sheffield United. That's what you need to see, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I didn't realise as well, it was what I texted you a lot earlier, was Jake's been involved in 5 goals at Sheffield and one.
Is that definitely a theme, right? 100%.
Yeah. I mean, where'd I saw that on a Sheffield United fan. United fan posted it, and he said, you know, I should have realised, really, if I'd have done the stats before the game, that Jake's been involved in 5 goals in 5 games against Sheffield United. 4 goals and 1 assist. If they are actually true, and coming from the fact that they're coming from a Sheffield, I'd say they've been fact checked. I'd say they're true, mate.
I think it is, because I think if you think about it, he scored that goal when we beat them 3-1 at the Den a couple of years back. It sort of started our season under Harris when we came eighth. He scored then. He scored one that sort of hit the lot, went over the line with a header. It sort of hit the ball, bounced down. He scored at Bramall Lane, was it 2-3 years ago now, for the equaliser. He scored last night, so that's 3. So that's probably right. Yeah, it's probably about that. And then he's probably, you know, probably back one in that game. He's probably hit one forward, hasn't he? So yeah.
Yeah, he's
right.
scored four and assisted with one. So yeah, not bad game.
Not bad at all.
Really good.
Not bad for a central
defender. Be interested. I'll have to speak to a pal I know who bets on Jake to score every game and just see what his odds are. If the odds were low, then obviously the bookies knew that as well. But we'll just see. If it was anything below 5-1, then the bookies obviously knew that he's got a bit of a, I don't know if he's got a bit of an issue with Sheffield United or not. I don't know.
Well, we're round up part one anyway. Kyle, you missed the start, but did Jeff West mean it or did he across it?
Well, he said he meant it, wouldn't he? But I don't think
that
he
was
did.
Across.
Definitely across. I mean, it was quite similar to Max Lowe, wasn't it, when he did that? I mean, I think it was actually better than Max Lowe's because he's done it from further away, but. You know, in all credit to Jed. But 5 assists, 5 goals, 4 assists now for Jed. Not bad, is it? So it's a fantastic start to the season. And yeah, just got his name printed on the back of my shirt. So hopefully he doesn't go because I need it for the whole season. So fingers crossed.
You just give him the kiss of death there, I feel like. That's it.
I found it out.
That's it. He's done now. if Jed gets injured on Saturday and he's out for the rest of the season, direct your abuse at Kai. But yeah, we'll round up part one anyway now. We'll talk a bit more about Saturday's game against Stoke City coming up in part number 2. Back shortly. And welcome to the second part of the show. As mentioned, we play Stoke City on Saturday. Tough game ahead of us on Saturday, Kai. Obviously, me and Mickey spoke a bit earlier on the show about the mentality of home games. Like, we were speaking yesterday about yesterday's game, about how it seemed like we was more kind of relaxed going into the game, kind of keen to go out there and make an impression, because you're kind of not expected to win at Bramall Lane. Whereas Saturday before, you know, was at home against Luton, pressure's on from the Den crowd. And I think it'll be the same on Saturday, and a tricky one for the players to kind of, you know, get their heads into on Saturday.
Yeah, and I saw a few quotes from Rowett this morning that said something like, you know, we need to sort of, you know, try and change. Maybe, I think he said, try out a few things at home or something. So maybe that means a change of formation, a change of shape, change of play, whatever. But maybe he's going to drop the 5 at the back at home. I don't know. I don't mind the 5 at the back. West Brom, for example, they play 5 at the back and they're really exciting with how they play with it. So it does show that 5 at the back can work, but you need to do the right things with it. You know, you need to attack, you know, in the right way and get the wing backs high, because if you do that, it works really well. It sort of creates overload, so it can work, but I just don't think we maybe do it right and well enough at times. I think that's probably why we get bogged down. But it'd be interesting to see whether it just goes back to a plain old 4-4-2 or a 4-4-2-3-1, something like that, and tries to go at Stoke that way. It'll be a tough game. They've got some quality players. I mean, the other day, I don't know whether you watched the West Brom game when they played them. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never seen a more one-sided 1-0 game. It was brilliant. Like, they were fantastic. So it's going to be a tough game, but they're not always. I think they have done quite well on the road, haven't they? Yeah. So they're a good team. They lost last night to Bournemouth, so they'll be looking to put that right. So it'll be a tough game at the Den on Saturday.
Literally stole words out of my mouth there about yesterday's game for them against Bournemouth. Any idea what formation they play as well, Kai?
I think they play four, don't they? Five at the back.
Five at the back. So if anyone's playing Devil's Advocate there about, you know, suggesting there could be a change. Typically, if you come against a team that plays five, most teams play five against them as well. So I don't know. We'll see. And I agree with you. I mean, I'm not against the five at the back formation in general. I think home games, though, we just got to see more commitment, more players forward, more players getting there, you know, getting past the halfway line, so to speak. And Mickey, me and you bang this drum all the time, don't we? But it's just, at home, you've got to see something different, haven't we, mate?
Attacking football, mate. It's attack, 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 attack.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? Gary, it's just attack, 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 attack. It's the same. It's the same motto what the old Bill used against the fans. So the players need to use it against the opposition, mate.
Attack, 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 attack. I mean, lads, we got last five games here. We're sitting sixth place in the form table. It's not all bad, is it, Kai?
I tell you what. All of a sudden, three wins out of the last four. No draws in four, or, you know, we haven't drawn a game in four. And this is much better now. I know Luton game was a poor performance. We were really poor on Saturday. But I'd much prefer us to be winning three out of four than getting, say, the same amount of, you know, two draws, a win, and, you know, and a loss, something like that. You know, I know it's more points. I know it's obviously says it itself. But just by winning more games, you feel like we're doing better as a team. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the wins make you feel better. Even say we win one game and we draw three, it's four unbeaten, but we don't get anywhere near the amount of points, just turning, you know, two of them into wins and losing the other one. It's much better in terms of points. Winning three out of four is looks so much better than, you know, being unbeaten in four, but drawing, you know, half of those games, you know?
Yeah. So
I'm really pleased with the wins. Obviously it's a shame we lost against Luton, because if we would have beaten Luton, we could have been in the playoffs, couldn't we? So it's a bit of a shame, but, you know, I'm sure that the players hopefully want to put it right on Saturday and turn up to the Den and put in a much better performance than they did last weekend, because that wasn't good enough.
It's not unfeasible to think that we could be like in Stoke's position right now. They've got a really similar record to us, six wins, three draws, four defeats. They've not lost many, but also their goals scored and goals against, 16 goals for, 14 against, Millwall's 13 goals for, 14 against. It's going to be probably a cagey game on Saturday, Mickey, but hopefully we come out on top, isn't it? That's kind of the hope you're going into the game on Saturday, mate.
Yeah, I think we'll win it. I think the momentum's there. I think the, you know, the team's going to have that bounce from the win. I think they're just, I don't think they want to play at the Den again and get boos. And I don't think, you know, you really want to lose against Stoke, because the fans will get on your back. You know, Stoke bring a lot. So, yeah, no, I'd say we're going to win it. I'd love to see a nice fucking, we're due, you know, a nice 2-0, 3-0 fucking victory. But, yeah, you know, I think we'll be all right against Stoke. I'm not over panicked, to be fair. I think positivity in the bounce, I think, yeah, we'll be all right.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be
I think we slagged them off too much on Saturday, fella. Do you know what I mean? Saturday,
so your positivity is there, right? So you're trying to be polite and nice. But, I mean, I don't know. I think after 5 minutes on Saturday, I wouldn't cross my mind to be not slagging them off again, to be honest. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens. I think it's going to be a tricky game. I think, you know, Stoke have got some tricky customers on their side. Nick Powell, for me, stands out, Kai. I know you mentioned Sam Surridge a couple of times to me. But Nick Powell is obviously a good player at this level, isn't he? And he's always a trouble in the middle of the park. But it's some really good players in there, isn't there?
Yeah, he's like, Nick Powell is like Stoke City's Jeb Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, if you stop Nick Powell, most of the time you stop Stoke. And I think that's probably similar to Millwall. You know, if you stop Jed, you stop a lot of our creativity. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a fair reflection of Stoke. I mean, they've got some good players, let's be fair. You know, they've got Harry Soutar at the back, who's 6'7", something like that. He's probably he's a bit taller than Coops. They've got obviously Surridge, as I mentioned before. They seem to be quite keen to play Jacob Brown up top. He's been doing quite well actually recently. But you know, they've got some good players. They've got a solid team, and most importantly, I think they're more of a unit. You know, they haven't got, you know, same a lot of, you know, key you know, outstanding players in their side, but they all play as a team, and you know, they work hard for each other, and I think that gets you way further in the Championship than a few standout players, I think. So you only have to look at Sheffield United. They've got a couple of really good standout players in that side, but you know, at the moment they're not playing as a team, and you know, they're losing football games. So same with us. I don't think we've got, you know, loads and loads of key players and star players, but what we have got, we use well, and we play, and you know, everyone works hard for each other. Everyone works hard for the shirt, and that's what we ask. So yeah, 3 points on Saturday would be lovely, and potentially into the playoffs if results go our way.
Millwall draw 1-1 on Saturday. I hate to be that person. I think Stoke and Millwall, I think you're talking about them there, you know, not many standout players, quite a unit of a team there. You're describing our side, I feel like. And for us to win on Saturday, we've got to try and show a bit of quality and obviously out fight their kind of unit that we've got as well. So it could happen. I agree with you. It'd be nice to get 3 points. It'd be nice, like Mickey says, to win 2 or 3-0. My gut says it'll probably be 1-1. I mean, go on, Kai, give me a score prediction for Saturday's game.
The thinking is, I feel a bit sick because I put that on the group 2-1, didn't I, to Millwall the other day. And I only forgot to do the prediction league. So
I forgot as well, mate. Don't worry.
I feel a bit sick now. So, yeah, that's...
I said 2-1 on the pod, mate. I said it's either going to be a 1-0 or it's going to be a 2-1. So, I could just see him nicking it. So, yeah, it is what it is. I think we'll win too.
I think we're going to go... I'm going to go with Mickey's score. I'm going to go 2-0.
Bloody hell.
And I'm going to go... See, I'm positive. That's the thing. I am.
I got trapped by your positivity last Thursday and ended up saying we'll win 3-1 against Luton and... That didn't happen. That was the complete opposite. So maybe me being a bit more realistic this time round, maybe that might mean we win, lads. So you can thank me later for it. You know what I mean? So I say 1-1, but you know, when we win 2-0,
you said Bramall Lane was going to be a 1-1 as well. So yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So maybe me going 1-1.
Let's go 1-1 every game then. Hopefully we win 2-1 every game.
Now that I say it, I think every time I think it's going to be a close game, we normally edge it. So if you're listening, everyone, if you're watching this, you got me to fight when we win on Saturday anyway. So I think that's everything for me anyway, lads. Anything you two want to say before we go?
Just one thing that I forgot earlier when we had a pre-show chat. I'm recording a special tomorrow night. I think I'm on my Todd, unless you're joining me, with the Fair Cop from Twitter. We're going to talk about football rights, football fans' rights, what to do and don't. Football if you get arrested and bits and pieces like that, and hopefully it will be coming to a little series, hopefully, of talking fan issues, and we get some people on who know the ins and outs of the laws and different bits and pieces, and hopefully it can benefit some fans. So yeah, do look out for that. It will be going across our platforms, and I don't know when it will be coming out yet. It might come out Saturday or it might come out in the week, but we'll make sure you know about it and make sure it gets promoted. So, yeah, look out for that. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube and then you won't miss it when it does come out. But it will be available on both as video and as a podcast, hopefully.
Perfect. I mean, as I said at the start of the video, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new, leave a comment below of what you think about what we said today. And I think that's everything from me as well. So thanks for being with us, Kai, mate. Better late than never, but thanks for coming along.
Yeah, sorry for being a bit late, but yeah, enjoyed it. Hopefully we're going to win on Saturday and yeah, take us close or into the playoffs.
And nice on Mickey, as always. Thanks, mate.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
We'll be back soon. Come on, boys.